Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. We hope you do join the station for 2010, but we'll begin today with two big questions. Should the Democrats use the reconciliation process to pass a health reform bill? And should Governor Patterson resign or cancel his campaign or just fight on? We'll do health care first, the governor second. So now that the health care summit has come and gone and we see that no real compromise bill will get Republican support, should the Democrats go ahead and pass the president's plan or something like it using the so-called reconciliation process? That would bypass any filibuster in the Senate and allow the Senate to pass the bill with a regular 51-vote majority. Listeners, are you for it? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And while you're calling in, we'll ask you if you watched any of the summit yesterday when we get you on the phone. Did you learn anything new? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post a comment to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Did you learn anything that made you think Republicans really do have serious ideas on health care, or that they don't? Or anything that made you think better or worse of the Democrats' approach, or of the way either side played politics yesterday? 212-433-WNYC. Or post a comment to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. New York Times national correspondent Jackie Combs will help guide us through this. Hi, Jackie. Welcome back to WNYC.
Hi. Good to be back.
And as people's calls and posts are coming in, let's listen to Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid during the health care summit yesterday, arguing that reconciliation would not be an extraordinary step to take.
Since 1981, reconciliation has been used 21 times. Most of it's been used by Republicans for major things, like much of the Contract for America, Medicare reform, the tax cuts for rich people in America. So reconciliation isn't something that's never been done before.
In addition, Julie Ravner on NPR did a reconciliation history piece. Maybe some of you heard that the other day. And she mentioned that the COBRA health benefit, COBRA, which lets you buy into your company's insurance after you get laid off, was a health care entitlement created through reconciliation. In fact, COBRA stands for the Consolidated Omnibus Budget Reconciliation Act, COBRA, of 1985. Also, the CHIPS program, she said, the Children's Health Insurance Program, was done in reconciliation. So is the Emergency Medical Treatment and Active Labor Act, which tells hospitals that they have to evaluate all comers in emergency rooms, and the famous 1996 Welfare Reform Bill, which, among other things, disconnected Medicaid from welfare, done in reconciliation. So, Jackie Combs, given that history, are the Republicans completely blowing smoke when they call this unprecedented?
Well, not completely, but nearly so. To your list of things that reconciliation process has been used for, I would add the Bush tax cuts earlier in the decade.
Right, and that was mentioned by Harry Reid in the clip, yeah.
Exactly, and the difference with that, I mean, where the Republicans have an argument is that arguably nothing so comprehensive as the Democrats' health bill has been passed using reconciliation. And it is true that reconciliation early on was supposed to be a relatively minor reconciling of revenues and spending, a purely budget process, not something to pass social policy. However, you could also argue that the Republicans' use of reconciliation to pass tax cuts was an even bigger sort of departure from what reconciliation was supposed to be, because in 2001, there was a surplus, but the tax cuts were very big, and it was predicted they would lead to deficits. By 2003, when President Bush pushed through another package of big tax cuts, we were in deficit. So the idea of using reconciliation, which was intended for deficit reduction or to avoid deficits, was used to make deficits bigger, was a huge departure.
Shaw in Edison, you're on WNYC. Hi, Shaw. Should they do it?
Hi. How are you? I like your program very much.
Thank you, sir.
And I like to say that I'm a Republican, but I am very upset on Republican because they are playing game. They are playing a politics. Now people need a health coverage. Whatever people who don't have it or whatever people who have a health coverage, they are paying fortune, and they don't realize it. What did for 8 years, the Bush administration, they ever think about the health care and give a health care? Cobra, let me give you my example. When I was working 25 years in one company, company moved to the China, and I was paying a Cobra. I was taking an unemployment $500 per week. I am paying a Cobra for my family $1,200 a month. Can you imagine that? And we need a health care, and we do our contribution to that company or any place. They provide us a health care. That America doing very well with that, with Medicaid and Medicare. Government can run that this kind of program.
Sure, I get it. And you're gonna say, Democrats, go for it, and take the electoral risk at the end of the day, right?
Yes, sir.
Shaw, thank you very much. And we have some news breaking. Jackie, you'll be interested in this too, though I think it's not quite your beat. Governor David Patterson of New York says he will not run for re-election. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to resign, but with the new scandal surrounding the governor of New York, David Patterson says he will not run for re-election. We'll be talking more about this later in the hour, and we will be asking the question, should David Patterson now take the next step and resign? The Daily News, the New York Post, and even Wayne Barrett and the Village Voice are all calling on him to do that. We'll talk about that after we continue this conversation on health reform with all of you and with Jackie Combs, national correspondent for the New York Times. Jackie, here's an important political question. All eyes are focused on the Senate with reconciliation, but I think the smart headcounts say they do not have the votes right now in the House. Do they have the votes in the House?
I don't think they do, but it's one of those situations you often see where you really don't know if you have the votes until the vote begins. There are people who just won't give you an answer. And in truth, you don't really know yet what the bill is, because the House is being asked to pass the bill that the Senate passed, because that's the easiest thing to do. But then there's this side bill, the one they would do through reconciliation, that would be a package of changes to what would then be the House and Senate passed bill, and it would make changes that would bring the original bill into line, make changes that make the bill acceptable to House members. So it would essentially be the kind of compromise you usually would get out of a conference committee between the House and the Senate. And so, I mean, it's a pretty good idea what people are going to have to vote for, but they don't know for sure. And then they don't know what order the votes are going to be. Are they going to pass the Senate bill first? The House members are reluctant to do that because they don't trust the Senate. It's the time-worn distrust between the two bodies.
And so, the House version, which only passed by 5 votes, and since then Jack Murtha has died, a couple of other seats have turned over, and the Senate bill, which they would pretty much have to accept, as you're saying, is different. It has no public option, which a lot of House Democrats wanted. It's a little easier on abortion, so Bart Stupak and other anti-abortion rights Democrats in the House might be tempted to vote no. There are other differences, too. So as you're saying, and for some additional reasons, too, it's complicated in the House.
It is very complicated. And some of these Democrats, actually more moderate Democrats, like the Senate bill better than the one that passed the House. But And you know, another factor that I think you're seeing come into play is there's a lot of frustration across the board among Democrats, including those who are, you know, like of the more moderate to conservative brand, who are just fed up with what the Republicans are doing to kill this bill. And also, you got to remember, a lot of Democrats, majorities, voted for the original bills. So to vote no now, you have, you know, you're vulnerable to the charge of flip-flopping by your campaign opponent.
All right, listeners, should the Democrats use the reconciliation process to get this through the Senate? Helene and Roselle, you're on WNYC. Hi, Helene.
Hi, Brian. I think we should. I think we should do reconciliation because I work as a coordinator of care for our Medicare population in the state of New Jersey. And, you know, it's a sad state of affairs. I mean, premiums went skyrocketing, and the Medicare Advantage programs, you know, they're I mean, they work for some who can afford them, I guess, but for those who really, you know, have a lot of comorbid conditions and have to pay copays to different specialists mm-hmm. and
but,
everything.
But you're not afraid that Medicare recipients are going to get hurt with all the cuts that are being used to pay for some of these new entitlements?
Well, from the way I heard President Obama talk about it, it sounds like it would actually take the money that they're getting for those advantage-type programs and put it into the investment of the supplemental program, which is actually the patient doesn't have a copay. The patient...
Right, that's true to some degree, Jackie Combs, but also there would be... And this is one of the main points that the Republicans made over and over again yesterday. In their view, we can't afford to add a new entitlement program for health care when we already can't afford the ones we have, especially Medicare. And
right.
there would be would there be other money taken out of Medicare, not just the private Medicare Advantage plans, in lower reimbursements to providers?
Well, and this is from the party, though, that in 2003 took boasting rights to passing the Medicare prescription drug benefit, and adding that benefit over time has added is going to add more debt to this country than the entire Social Security program. So their hands aren't clean on this argument about adding entitlement spending. And I will say this: there's no both parties are demagoguing about Medicare and Medicaid, because there's no question that those programs are going to have to be shrunk in terms of future benefits. We've overpromised; they'll bankrupt the country and they'll bankrupt themselves. That said, it's one thing to cut Medicare, as Republicans themselves have proposed in past years. It's another thing to do it with policy behind it. So you not only have the Medicare Advantage, the reductions in Medicare actually are backed up by policy. In addition to Medicare Advantage, you have, I can't remember the number now, it's over $100 billion that would be saved over 10 years because you would no longer have to pay hospitals for the hospitals that serve a disproportionate number of uninsured people get payments from the government. And you would no longer have to make those payments if there was essentially universal health care coverage. So that is a savings that doesn't hurt anybody as long as everybody's insured.
One thing the president said at the end of the summit made it look to me that the president does believe in this enough to press this forward with reconciliation. As controversial as the Republicans are going to try to make that sound, here is an excerpt from his closing statement 7.5 hours yesterday after his opening statement.
We cannot have another year-long debate about this. So the question that I'm going to ask myself and I ask of all of you is there enough serious effort that in a month's time or a few weeks' time or 6 weeks' time, we could actually resolve something. And if we can't, then I think we've got to go ahead and make some decisions, and then that's what elections are for. We have honest disagreements about the vision for the country, and we'll go ahead and test those out over the next several months till November.
That's what elections are about. And Jackie Combs, we're running out of time, but in a way, that's the most high-minded thing he could possibly have said. They ran on health reform in 2008. They think this is vital for a strong American future. They'll take their chances of a backlash in November. That's
right.
Democracy driven by something other than this week's polls.
Right. And I would bring up a quote from Republican Paul Ryan, the senior Republican on the House Budget Committee, who last year said about the Democrats using the reconciliation process. He said, it's their right. They did win the election. They did run on these ideas. We don't like it because we don't like what looks like the outcome. So there you have it.
So we'll see what happens if they can get this through. We'll see what happens in November if they do get it through. Jackie Combs, national correspondent for The New York Times, thank you so much.
Great to be with you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll talk about the evolving situation engulfing the governor coming up next.